and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've joined us today. Since Senator Debbie Stabenow decided not to run for office again, the race for Michigan Senate seat has been a little quiet. Democratic Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin threw her hat into the ring in late February. But after that point, there are really only a few others who have announced their bid for Senate. On Saturday, Ann Arbor attorney and Democratic candidate Zach Burns launched his bid. And on the Republican side of things, State Board of Education member Nikki Snyder launched her bid, as well as Michael Hoover, who worked at Dow Chemical. But this week, someone else from Southeast Michigan has decided to enter this race. Nasser Baydoun is a 58-year-old restaurant owner and former chairman and executive director of the American Arab Chamber of Commerce. He has plans to kick off his campaign today in Detroit. A little later in the hour, we're going to talk about some other things going on in Detroit, including potential changes to the city's public transit lines, as well as possible problems with the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office. But we want to start today talking with Nasser Baydoun about why he's running for Senate and what he wants to accomplish if he could win this seat. Nasser, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen. Good to be here.
So let's start with why you are running for Senate. What made you jump into this race?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the average American is happy with the politics in this country today? Are they content with what's happening, you know, in Washington and how our government is handling their affairs? You know, there's a lot of discourse and people are fed up with it. And I think that in order to enable change, you need to, you know, bring people who have real life experiences, who aren't career politicians, and who want to come in there and fix things and not find a career, you know, give back to society instead of continuing just to be elected officials.
So you haven't held much public office before, but tell me why you are qualified to be a member of the U.S. Senate. What's in your background that you think really lends to your success if you were to win this seat?
Well, like you know, you're right. I've never been elected to public office before, but I have for my entire career served the public, served the communities, helped people, tried to bring people together, tried to create opportunity, tried to do a lot of the things that government is supposed to do, but, you know, without receiving the salary of a government official.
You're running as a Democrat, and I wonder what you think makes you a Democrat. You're talking a lot about supporting small businesses and things like that, but there is a pretty solid Democratic agenda in Washington right now, because there is a Democratic president and Democrats control the Senate. They controlled the House until earlier this year. Tell me what makes you fit into that party. What beliefs and policies make you a Democrat?
Well, first of all, I have, you know, my background is small business. I'm an entrepreneur by nature, but I come from a house where my father worked at Ford Motor Company for 30 years and was a proud member of the UAW. So I understand what it means to have a good paying UAW job. I own small business, a couple of small businesses, which basically, as everybody knows, small business is the main economic engine of this country. It creates the most jobs. It invests in the community. Also, I have a track record in human rights and civil rights and helping people out. So I believe that government has a purpose, but I also think that, you know, government has to be fair and balanced and level the playing field and not be skewed towards corporate interest and special interest. So I'm going to the Senate to represent the working class and small business owners.
So I want to ask you about some specific issues in Washington. there's a lot that has been accomplished in the first few years of President Joe Biden's presidency. So something like the Inflation Reduction Act, tell me what you think of that piece of legislation and that approach to the economy.
Well, the problem, you know, we see where government tries to fix everything instead of trying to reduce the red tape and the burden on people. I'm more for a smaller government than I am for, you know, but I think there was a need for the reduction, the Inflation Reduction Act, because, you know, we were going in a very inflationary cycle because of all the money that was pushed into the economy through the COVID relief acts, you know, and all the money that people had to spend and the bottlenecks in the supply chain caused us to get, you know, a major inflation period.
So you're in favor then of the Inflation Reduction Act? Yeah. Okay. And what about things like the CHIPS and Science Act and the infrastructure law? Would you have supported that kind of legislation as well?
I would, because we need to bring manufacturing back to the United States. What COVID showed us is that this global supply chain is not in our best national security interest. We need to be manufacturing critical items in the United States to make sure that we continue to lead the world. And we're self-sufficient in a lot of the things that, you know, are key factors of our economy.
So you said earlier that you have a record on supporting civil rights and civil rights issues. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. I mean, you know, when it comes to basically basic freedoms, fighting against the no-fly list, the watch list, you know, making sure the government isn't overreaching with the Patriot Act, making sure that all citizens are not discriminated against, standing with the African-American community on discrimination. You know, I have a track record and a history of doing that.
I'm talking with Nasser Beydoun. He is a Dearborn businessman who is kicking off his campaign for U.S. Senate as a Democrat today in Detroit. We'd love to hear from you, listeners, as well. What kind of leadership do you want to see from the next senator for the state of Michigan? Debbie Stabenow, who's had that job for several decades now, is retiring after next year, and we'll have an election to decide who replaces her. Who do you think should be on the list, and what kind of policies should the next senator for Michigan be focused on, and why? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today to be part of the conversation. I also want to ask you about the race itself, Nasser. There's a couple of other candidates in, but the one who's the most prominent, I guess, is Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, who's also a Democrat. Draw some contrasts for me between you and her and in this race.
Well, first of all, you know, my experience is real life experience, you know, being a small business owner, coming from a working class family, you know, going through the public education system differentiates me from Alyssa Slotkin's, who, you know, is basically went from, you know, college to the CIA to Congress. So, you know, her experience and my experience are vastly different.
Do you think there's a difference on issues? Are there things that you would do differently, do you think, than she might?
I think there's a lot of differences on issues. First of all, how we look at foreign policy. I think how we look at civil rights, how we look at human rights around the world. Those are all things that are going to differentiate us during the campaign. And I think the differences will be made more clear as we go around the state of Michigan and people get to know me and see where I stand and how I think and how I relate to a lot of what people in Michigan are thinking and, you know, trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, this idea that you feel like you have a really different view of international affairs and diplomacy than she does. Can you be more specific about the things that you think are different?
Sure. I mean, she looks at foreign policy through a national security perspective. I look at foreign policy through humanitarian objective position. We've lost a lot of our credibility around the world as a nation. People do not look at us as a beacon of light anymore. We've basically had two disastrous wars that have lasted over 20 years that she was one of the people that supported. I was opposed to the Iraq War from day one. I knew it was a fishing expedition. The government blatantly lied to us, and it cost us trillions of dollars, thousands of American lives, destroyed our credibility. So this is one of the main differences between us. I believe that if we believe in democracy and human rights, we have to support it around the world, whereas a national interest perspective would be, what's ever good for our national interest comes before what our values are.
So I also want to ask you about the Middle East in particular and U.S. policy in the Middle East. I want to get your take on that, and specifically U.S. policy toward Israel and toward the Palestinian people.
Well, I'm a strong believer, and I've always been a strong believer, that there needs to be peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. It needs to be a just and comprehensive peace. And the U.S. needs to do more to push the Israelis to be more serious about peace. You can't be pro-peace and continue to occupy, continue to build settlements. And, we need to come to a resolution of that conflict. It's in the best interest of everybody in the region. Yeah. And for our own national security interests.
And so in the U.S. Senate, what are the levers that you think you would be able to pull that would put pressure on Israel to establish a more stable peace with the Palestinians and one that respects their human rights?
Well, we give the Israelis over $3 billion a year in financial aid. And so I think that we have a lot of leverage, plus we're their strongest ally and their strongest backer. So we need to use our leverage to basically, make sure that the Israelis are serious about peace, that the Palestinians are serious about peace, and to push once and for all end this conflict.
Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to Mo in Detroit. Mo, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Stephen. So a question for the candidate. You know, we just came out of 4 years of having a president with no political experience. And I think the majority of Detroiters certainly, and according to the election, Michiganders, thought that that was an absolute disaster, and think that political experience is actually really important in being a prominent elected political figure. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious why the candidate thinks that he would somehow be different than someone else without political experience. And lastly, just a note that the words "I'm a small business owner and I believe in small government" truly do sound like Republican talking points. So I'm wondering how deep his commitment is to actual left and left government.
Yeah, Mo,
hang up and take thanks.
Great questions, Mo. Really appreciate the call. Nasser, what do you say to that? The idea that someone without political experience, without public service, elected office, hasn't always turned out all that great for citizens and for voters. What makes you different, do you think, in your candidacy?
Well, first of all, you know, being compared to Donald Trump, there's a huge difference between him and I.
But not in terms of, but not in terms of your experience, right? I mean, he didn't have any political experience either, and well, I think what most question is what bearing does that have on your ability to do the job?
You know, I have, you know, I have never been to elected to political office, but I have a long history of political experience, working on campaigns, working behind the scenes with politicians, helping politicians get elected, supporting politicians. So, and I have a track record of community service, serving on boards, serving on institutions, helping people out, making sure that, you know, people are treated fairly. I think this also, I don't think that political experience necessarily means, you know, being elected to office. Political experience means helping and serving your community in many different aspects. And in regards to the second part of
the focus on small business and small government, that those do sound a little like Republican talking points. I know that that's just one area of your beliefs, and there are lots of others that do seem to line up with the Democratic Party, but address that.
Okay, well, what does the average American want? He wants a good paying job, the opportunity for his children, which means a good public education, to live in a safe neighborhood, and to basically live in a clean environment. And other than that, he wants government to stay out of their way. And he wants government to be fair, not skewed to the upper 1%, or, you know, and there should be safety nets in place to help those people who kind of fall through that crack. But the role of government is to create a opportunity and provide education and provide health care and make sure that the level of the playing field is leveled for everybody. Yeah. And that's the government that I believe in.
Okay, Nasser Baydoun, really great to have you here, and we look forward to hearing more from you as we get into campaign season and this race for U.S. Senate heats up. Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Steve.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to stay in the region but pivot to Detroit's public transit agency, which is trying to improve ridership in the city. They've got a new plan out that they announced yesterday. Malachi Barrett from Bridge Detroit is going to join us. He's been covering it and following what this is all about. We also want to continue to hear from you on the phones. 313-577-1019 is the number. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we can make you part of the program that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.